It's the Momcast.
Really, Mom?
Mom?
You are listening.
Momcast.
And Momcast.
Hey, Moms. Welcome to Momcast. This time around, some great information for you. First of all, we're going to hear about a throwback. Remember, probably none of you do, but back in the day, doctors used to make house calls. Well, now you don't have to traipse all the kids, pack them in the car. If someone needs to go to the doctor can come to you. And we're going to tell you how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to help you keep your kids occupied.
We've brought in an expert to help us kind of navigate this holiday season with all of the germs. And I'd like to welcome Jill Perrick from Mobile Med. I know that you and your husband started this company to really help people who maybe can't get to urgent care or, you know, and you come to their home, correct?
We do. Yes. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So there initially are three of us in the company, and now we've grown to about eight providers, but we do home visits. We thought about a year and a half or so ago about creating a company that would help families get their medical needs taken care of. And we come from a background of emergency physician, which is my husband and myself, a nurse practitioner with a lot of ER experience. And then Greg LaFontaine, my other partner, who is a PA, and he has a lot of ER experience. And we were just sort of thinking, how can we, in a world of sort of increasing concierge type services, use our skills to help our community?
Wow. And who would have thought that now here we are in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, if something happens, I'm thinking the way most moms are. If your child is sick, even if it's not COVID related, then you get nervous about going into a facility.
Yeah.
You know, there's that part of it. So this now, it was a great idea. It almost seems now brilliant because,
and
you know,
who knew that would happen?
Right. I mean, and that's pretty cool in that sense. I mean, we're not saying, oh, good for you, you know, there's COVID. But certainly, I would imagine that is what a lot of parents are thinking. I would rather have somebody come to my home than have to go in and be exposed to everything. Even though everybody's being careful, you still have that nervousness.
There is definitely that nervousness. And I think initially when we started it, we needed to gain some comfort with our community in using our service. And thinking of someone coming to your home to care for you, you know, people may have been a little standoffish at first too. And it took a while to kind of get the word out what we were doing, but we, you know, kept getting some good reviews and some repeat families who were using us. And then last holiday season, when the flu season really started spiking, we started getting quite busier. And so we were seeing families pretty regularly, almost every day. We were seeing a patient, which, you know, for a small business, that was kind of a big thing for us. So from Christmas week through February, we got quite busy. And it was exciting for us that we were performing a good service for our community and putting our skills to use. And then of course, COVID hit. And I know probably experts could predict something like this was going to happen at some point. We certainly didn't realize it was going to happen this year. So it's changed things a little bit, but it's helped us too.
It's kind of funny, Heather, isn't it, that something old school is like the new thing?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about back way, way back before our time, doctors
made house calls.
House calls all the time.
Right.
I mean, that's how you were treated. None of us know what that's like.
No.
Until now. So it's kind of a cool thing. I would assume you still have to be careful though.
Of course, yes. And we have all the appropriate personal protective equipment. We have masks and gloves and face shields if needed. And in a lot of cases, when the weather's decent, we can see you in your garage. We can see you on your front porch. We don't even need to go in your home if your comfort level is really you want to keep everyone at a significant distance if possible. But it is nice to be able to go and, you know, look in someone's ears and have the protection that you need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Are you just, you know, emergency urgent care, or what other services do you offer?
So, yes, our we're kind of marketed as a mobile urgent care, and we don't have things like x-rays or other radiology testing because that would take a lot of equipment that we don't really have. But we're able to see things like sore throats, influenza, ear infections, rashes, urinary tract infections. We can test for COVID. And, you know, sometimes there are some other things that come up where people, you know, have a history of asthma and maybe they can't get to their doctor and they need a refill, and we can take care of those sorts of things too. We're not primary care providers, but, you know, we can kind of step in if the need is more urgent.
Okay. For myself, I can't tell the difference. Like this morning, my daughter was coughing. Last week, my six-year-old had a stuffy nose. And, you know, I always think, well, it's allergies. But is there something that I can definitively say, okay, I need a doctor to look at them?
Yes, that's the tricky thing, because allergies can mimic viruses, can mimic other things, and a lot of viruses start off with a sore throat. And oftentimes, that's the very first symptom you'll have. And then, you know, waiting about 24 hours in, is anything else developing, or is a sore throat worse? Do they have that muffled sound in their voice? So, you know, there's not an exact science to know, but with experience and, you know, 15, 20 years behind us of seeing all these things, you kind of can clue in on, you know, exam findings or what people are saying and how long the symptoms are lasting for, and just sort of knowing the difference between colds, how allergies sort of start, and oftentimes during seasonal changes too, that can affect them if they've had a history of allergies. Sometimes if you try medications to treat an allergy and it seems to work and no other symptoms develop, then, okay, maybe it's more of an allergy thing versus an acute infection.
Is insurance any different with this process? In other words, someone might have that question. Does their insurance cover a mobile visit?
So at this time, we are a small company, and we attempted and, you know, are still sort of trying to have some insurance companies contract with us, but we haven't been able to get that to go through just yet. So we are cash pay service, but you can use HSA cards, FSA cards, and we will provide documentation on the back end of the diagnosis code and the visit and the charge, and you can always submit on the back end and use toward your deductible or something.
Well, that's good.
Like that.
I mean, a lot, there are, you know, even if you just go to urgent care, sometimes you fall into that category too. So that's not a game changer,
And a lot of times, if you're healthy too, a lot of families won't even meet their deductibles. So for your insurance to pop in and start paying percentages, you know, it may still be a more cost effective option, because a lot of times we're able to give the care, but we don't have to pay for like the brick and mortar building and all the staff and all the equipment and all of that. So our fees tend to be a little less than more urgent care centers.
Awesome.
You're a mom, right?
I am a mom, yes.
I want to hear about your family.
Okay. My husband is Ryan Kanzler, and he is he's the physician that works with our Mobile Med 614 company too. So we both kind of have an understanding about our work life. And we have a 5.5-year-old daughter, Elena, and she is a sweet little spitfire. She's just a lot of fun, and she's in kindergarten. We live in Worthington, so we're in a hybrid situation right now for her school. So she's in school 2 to 3 days a week, and then either home or at her daycare center for the other days.
Can we get your opinion, because I know everybody's going to go back and forth about sending your kids in?
I know, and it's such a challenging decision right now for families, and I think you really have to weigh the benefits and risks and what your unique family situation is in. If your child has chronic health issues, if you're very close to maybe your parents who also have chronic health issues and there's increased risk, maybe families will choose to keep their children home and do homeschool or online schooling. For us, we work outside the home and we don't really have a choice of working from home or not going into a workplace, because I also work part-time at a couple different places around town. So for us, we're already out there no matter what, and our child is too. And we're, you know, keeping our fingers crossed that our immune systems are going to do what they need to do if we come across, you know, the virus or other things around. And we'll hope for the best for everybody. And it just is an individualized decision for everyone.
Yeah, it really is. It's a tough call for so many different things. I know at our house, it was tough. Okay, we're sending her. She goes in.
Yeah.
Then it was, will she play soccer? We're like,
right.
Oh boy. All right. We did the soccer thing and it was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And now it's basketball, which is inside. And we're still I don't know about that. And it's everything that comes up. You have to stop and say, all right, how do we feel about this and how does it look? And I think you're right. You're making your best guess.
Yeah.
And I think whatever you choose is fine, because you're trying to choose the best for your family.
Right.
But it's tough to do.
I know. It is. It really is.
Talking about families, and, you know, we're coming up on a time when everybody's usually around family and it's cold. So the thought is you're indoors. And we've heard in the news that, you know, being inside with, you know, multiple people is spreading the virus. What do you think is causing the COVID-19 virus to rise, the numbers to rise? Do you have a theory or some knowledge about that?
I think it's that, you know, more people are just out and moving around now. And when the pandemic started and we all just sort of hunkered down and shut down, there was less spread. Daycares were closed. Schools were closed. Families were not gathering much at all. So many people were working from home if they were able to. And things have slowly, you know, started to move toward normality, although I think we're far from that. And I think a lot of people have done a really good job with, you know, protecting themselves and keeping distance and wearing masks when possible. But a lot of the situations where you don't do that, like say if you're sharing a family meal with, you know, more than just your own individual family, you're not going to have masks on then. And are the hand washing practices as they should be? And, you know, people, I think, are getting fatigued with not seeing the people that they normally love to see. And that being said, too, I think the virus is just, it's spreading outward. So where the rural areas may not have been affected just because of proximity to exposure, now they're getting affected too. And I think a lot of the counties that are more rural are being affected. So it's just out there, and it seems like it's getting, you know, worse here than it ever has been, even in this compared to the springtime. And some urban cities were hit really hard, really badly at first, like New York City and Detroit and some others, but, you know, we didn't have that big surge like there was initially in some places, and it's here. So, you know, trying not to get lax with your protective gear and doing your best, but I fear for the holidays because people want to gather, but it's not going to be a business as usual holiday season, unfortunately. And
yeah,
I think
that's
all
the roughest time of year to try to do this. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, that's like everybody's, whatever holiday you celebrate, that's kind of your
thing.
Happy place.
Yeah.
And, you know, the time when you know there's going to be good things happening. So, yeah, it's real tough. We can make those sacrifices easier on certain things, but this one's going to be hard. It is. And, you know, how do you tell a loved one, no, you know, it's really rough.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's rough.
My sister and I were just having that conversation with our family, and it's hard. You don't want to put that hard line, but sometimes it's, you know, you want to see them next year and the year after and the year after.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sometimes it only takes one person that's ill, and then a lot of people can become ill.
We've seen how fast it seems to spread when we do try to open up a little bit. So, MobileMed, how would someone go about okay, my kiddo's sick or we're not feeling well, how do they get in touch with you? Or, you know, stuff something up their nose. I mean,
there are lots of things that children stick in their nose. I've pulled many
whatever
of those things
is,
out.
How do they get in touch with you guys? How do they, what is the call? What is the email? What do they do?
Okay, so our website is mobilemed614.com and our phone number is 614-551-8846. And once you either call us, someone may answer or leave a message and we'll get back with you quickly. But it all goes through an app on our end called Spruce.
Spruce. Mm-hmm. You know, I
just in time for Christmas.
Yes. This is such a comfort to me. I have been that mom that's scared to go to the emergency room. I've literally told my husband, unless they're bleeding out, I don't mean to be rude, but we could even have COVID and spread it. So why would I go to a busy waiting room unless it was really, you know, bad? Right. And so something like this is such a comfort. And have you been getting that feedback from parents at all?
We have been getting that feedback, yeah. Particularly the ones who are quarantining a little more strongly than others. And even just anybody. I mean, sometimes if you have several kids at home, it's hard to pack them all up and take them and then increase all their risks. So this is a good alternative option that's affordable. And we're happy to kind of get in that little niche.
Big shout out to our MomCast sponsor, the Hutta family of orthodontists. And the thing I love about the doctors Hutta, first of all, they're brothers, which I'm sure their mom, very, very proud. But also, they have been in our community for over 30 years, creating thousands, literally thousands of smiles. Now, they can take care of your kids. They can tell you if your kids need braces, but they can also help you out because I did it. I did Invisalign. I was not able to be in a family where they could afford to have braces. And this has been great. I didn't have horrible issues, but they were able to help me out. And it's something I've always been just a little bit uncomfortable with in my smile. So go to the experts, whether it's for you or for your kids, the Hutta family of orthodontists. They have four great locations around Central Ohio. You need to go to their website. You can find everything you need at HuttaFamilyOrtho.com. That's HuttaFamilyOrtho.com, the Hutta family of orthodontists, sponsors of MomCast. Deanna Niebel is an educator with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I think this is a tremendous resource. Parents right now just dying to have content and some assistance, and this is wonderful. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first of all, Deanna, I have to say, I mean, I've been up there several times. What a great thing for us to have, first of all, a great resource just to have in our state.
Absolutely. And before we get more specifically to the teacher and parent resource that we're here to talk about, I just want to mention that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is open. You do need an advance ticket, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland is open.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah, it's the coolest place. Every time you go, you see something different. I was up there. It's been about a year and a half now, but love going. But
road trip.
Road trip time for sure. And our producer, Greg, this sounds like something you'd be all over.
I am. I was really excited to be able to talk to Deanna today.
You know, with school, many kids not being in school, even if they are, things like field trips are out the window. I mean, my daughter is missing out on a bunch of field trips. I'm sure your kids are too, Greg. So this is perfect. Many people may not know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame actually offers free back-to-school resources for parents, for teachers, all to help kids learn a little bit about rock and roll.
And other topics. This resource teaches students, it's for teachers and parents, but a lot of the materials are student-facing, so they can learn about inductees, but there's also a lot of resources for other aspects of the curriculum. So there's writing practice. There's writing prompts. We've got some science activities. There's all sorts of historical content that might connect to a lesson on the Vietnam War or the Civil Rights Movement. or aspects of the 1950s, all the way up into today. We've got some resources that cover topics of the current time. So there's a lot to find on RockHall.edu, which is at rockhall.com/education.
That makes sense. I mean, because music is part of everything we touch. You know, it's very interdisciplinary.
Absolutely, which is something we always strive for, whether it's in our online resources or when we have them, our on-site programs. So there's just so much to find. And there's even more coming down the road. Our team is actively making more. And when you log in to RockHall.edu, there's an area where you can, if you want to request content, we'll put it in our queue and we'll see what we can do. So this resource is only growing. And I hope it will continue to do so for a long time.
Now, this is an extension because, as you mentioned, and we talked about field trips, a lot of kids have gone up to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the past for field trips. So this is kind of just an extension of that, since that's not happening for a lot of schools.
This absolutely can be an extension. It can also be a way to dive in and learn something new. There's a lot of resources on RockHall.edu that when we have field trips, we just don't have time to cover. You only have so much time in a field trip. So this, in some ways, is a way for teachers to take the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame home with them, and parents as well. Just take it home before you visit someday or maybe after. And then I also mentioned on RockHall.com, we have digital exhibits that can pair really nicely with RockHall.edu. So right now we've got a great exhibit called It's Been Said All Along that is at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but there's a digital exhibit that pairs with that too. So this particular exhibit talks about a lot of rock and roll artists that really elevate the conversation around social justice, which is very timely for our current era, but it also talks a lot about history. There's also a Voice Your Choice collection and exhibit that you can check out. Just a long history of thinking about musical aesthetics and thinking about how instruments connect to rock and roll on all kinds of levels.
Well, and again, I mean, a lot of social issues right now. And I mean, music, again, lends itself to those sorts of lessons as well.
One of my favorite artists that Stacey can't stand. Bob Dylan. Okay. Bob Dylan. I took my son to see Dylan came to Ohio just last year. Mainly, and he fell asleep, and we left early. But it was mainly because down the road, Davis can say, my dad took me to see Bob Dylan.
Right.
In 50 years, that'll
be
legendary.
Who's a legend? And Greg, you're not supposed to tell someone from the Rock Hall of Fame that I don't like Bob Dylan.
Well, you're not alone in that.
Bad form.
You're not alone in that. So
no, but you know what? And that's what's amazing about rock and roll. There's a wide range of styles under the umbrella of rock and roll, and some of it might not always be to our personal likes and dislikes, but Stacey, I'm sure we would have a great discussion about Bob Dylan's lyrics and his importance to the 1960s. And so there's just a lot to delve into in that way as well.
And even, I mean, contemporary, you know, there's now hip hop and R&B artists are being inducted. I think it's Biggie is going to be inducted this year.
Right.
So you're right. It crosses the whole spectrum.
And honestly, it's going to be a refreshing view, I'm sure, for kids and parents because, again, as I said, we're kind of, there are a lot of kids I know here in our city that have not gone back into the classroom yet. Our biggest school district in the state has not gone back into the classroom. So this is like a fresh set of, you know, content that everybody can look at. And it just sounds cool, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's challenging. You know, we all, of course, want to get back to more aspects that maybe were in the before times, but we are where we are. So I also just want to say this resource, we really designed it because we trust teachers to know their classrooms. So you can mix and match assets and materials. So you can take an asset from one aspect of rock and roll, and if you see a connection to this other artist, there's ways to make collections on the resource, and you can just bring that right into your classroom. So, you know, your seniors might need something a little different than your ninth graders, for example, and you can customize your choices on the materials that way.
That is cool. Now, can I ask just you personally, how do you become an educator for the Rock Hall of Fame?
Cool job.
Well,
huh?
Well, thank you. I'm very fortunate, and I really, really love my job. I started as an intern at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I sort of very quickly realized as I watched the other educators teach, I was like, wow, they really know their stuff, and they've got this amazing pedagogical knowledge, and I just sort of realized this is what I want to do. So I have a background in music education, and I also have a background in what is called ethnomusicology, which is how music and culture intertwine. So it was I'm very fortunate because it was a really good fit for both of my educational backgrounds.
Wow. Yeah, definitely a cool job.
Yeah.
I thought we had a cool job.
Right.
You do.
Her kids listen to Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Sure. Listen to Bob Dylan. Listen to his lyrics. Like, yeah, no, listen, we could talk about that all day if you wanted to, and I'd be happy to engage students on that. But I would also just point out there's a lot of modern artists on Rock Hall EDU as well that connect back to our inductees, because it's 25 years after your first commercial release for induction.
Absolutely. And I'm looking here, 723,000 students from more than 5,000 cities in 111 countries have already seen this content and taken part in it. So...
And actually we just updated it. We're approaching nearly 1 million students globally.
Wow.
And 115 countries, we're excited to say.
My gosh. Well, tell us again before we go how everybody can access this information.
Absolutely. So parents and teachers, you can sign up for a free Rock Hall EDU account at rockhall.com/education. Please check it out.
Deanna, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Deanna Niebel, an educator at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame up in Cleveland. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Stacey, so much.
Well, there you go. Hopefully some great information. Make sure that you find us wherever you get your podcast. While you're there, would you please rate and review us? Because that's going to help us a little bit get more of the word out to other moms so that they can get the helpful information from MomCast. We hope you have a great week. Everybody, please stay healthy, keep the kiddos healthy, and we're all going to get through this time together.